Hello, welcome to Black People Love Paramore podcast, where we chat about the seemingly random things large groups of Black people go up for. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars only, because we are 5-star bitches. Word to Yo Gotti. I am your co-host Sequoia,
and I'm Jordan.
And today we are chatting about streetwear. But before we get to that, we have In My Defense, like usual. Okay, so my In My Defense this week is about one Saweetie. Okay, Saweetie is going viral on the internet right now for a performance she did in which she puts her she's standing on the stage. She puts her hands down on the stage too with her feet and like clicks her heels, like she like does this weird galloping and clicks her heels. And Saweetie is often in the cultural zeitgeist because she's fine as fuck and she raps and like all this stuff, but people are often talking about how she's a bad rapper and how pretty privilege is what's getting her here to the world stage, right? And all the shit. And I just want to say, Saweetie is as good a rapper as Young Miami, Carisha is, okay? And I don't be seeing the same energy for one Miss Young Miami. In fact, Saweetie might be a little bit better than Miss Miami. At least Saweetie can stay on beat. I don't know what to tell y'all. So I'm not saying that y'all are wrong about, you know, the pretty privileged thing or her not having top notch bars and all that. I'm just saying, in my defense, I've heard worse. Worse is actually just as popular.
Yeah. But do you like Saweetie though?
Yes, I like Saweetie as a human, and I like some of Saweetie's music, and I like Carisha. I really like Carisha as a human. She be having me dying. And I like a lot of the City Girl songs too. Some of that shit too. So I'm like, y'all just, I don't understand where the energy is. Because Carisha's being carried by JT, who actually is a solid rapper. Is that where this is coming from?
I think people don't want to think that people can, you know, be funny, be beautiful, and actually be good at what they do. You know, I think they want to find a little hole and exploit it or whatever. Just because we caught Saweetie off beat once with her hands on the stage doesn't mean that that McDonald's meal doesn't slap. You know what I mean? So like,
because let me tell you something, the McDonald's meal very much did not slap at all. It was actually disgusting.
Really?
But
what was it again? She was doing all sorts of freaky shit, right? It was like french fries with a bun.
That's what it was. It was the way you had to assemble it. So she had specific assembly instructions. I think it was literally just like a Big Mac and chicken nuggets and fries. And a Big Mac and fries is my go-to meal anyways at McDonald's. So I'm like, bet I'm going to run through. I'm going to get the Saweetie meal. I get the little Saweetie and sour sauce, whatever. Her instructions were to take the fries, pour them out, put the chicken nuggets on top of that, and then pour the sweet and sour sauce on top of all of that, right? God. It sounds okay. It sounds like, all right, like, that's not a big deal. I can do that. Whatever. I do it. The sweet and sour sauce poured on top of the nuggets and fries made everything soggy. It tasted like it was like 3 weeks old at that point. Like, it was cold and soggy and not good.
So, yeah, there's like a time limit on that. That's like a very time-sensitive meal.
Extremely time sensitive. And as somebody who pours their milk first and keeps their cereal in the fridge in order to avoid soggy cereal at all, that was triggering for me. You know, there was no regard to the time sensitivity of said meal.
That's a little freaky on her part.
What is?
Putting the chicken nuggets on the fries and then doing a sweet and sour bath. I don't want
sweet and sour bath. Ew.
She's doing some sort of like sous vide with the sweet and sour sauce and the nuggets.
With sweet and sour sauce. You know, it was giving some type of ritual. It was giving very Azalea Banks. Like, yeah, you doing witch rituals with the McDonald's. Yeah, some wicked shit going on there. But nevertheless, Saweetie, you know, I still fuck with you. Carisha, I fuck with you too. You don't have to be the biggest barred up rapper on the planet for me to fuck with you. And low key, if you listen to Saweetie's freestyles, and freestyles, I mean, I use that loosely, not that she's actually coming off the top of her head, just, you know.
We use freestyle way too loosely in hip-hop.
We do. Ain't the same in hip-hop no in general. We
ain't
do.
No freestyle. You've been writing that since 2015, bro.
Literally, you got random bars that you didn't have written down that you now putting together because it's easy.
You talking about the Game of Thrones finale in your freestyle. It's 2021, dog. What are you talking about?
What you talking about? Right, Game of Thrones. Wow, wait, that's a great point. But yeah, Saweetie has this one freestyle called Pretty Bitch Freestyle, and that's the shit. I like that one. Okay. And then, you know, the one I got her on, what's Icy Girl? That's a little freestyle, quote unquote. And you know, also any song that don't have a hook on it is
need
good.
To compile a list of Sequoia's favorite Saweetie freestyles.
Yeah, you know what I mean? She only got the two that I'm aware of, but yeah, we could do that. Yeah, so that's my In My Defense. Leave Saweetie alone. Let the girl do what she's doing. I'm not saying it's not pretty privilege. I'm just saying leave the girl alone. Gotcha. Jordan, do you have something that you would like to chat about?
I do, in fact. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast. I'd recently discovered there's the Von Dutch is back in the news cycle because it obviously...
Hate that for us.
It's like, you know, it's obviously 2000 style is back. Everybody's recycling all these old fashion trends. And they're putting out a documentary on Von Dutch on Hulu because apparently it was like the business side of it was incredibly messy, as one can imagine. Yep. But... You know, obviously, we all remember the trucker hat. When we all remember Ashton Kutcher. We remember Pharrell. First of all, let's pay respect to the God. Pharrell started the trucker hat trend. Everybody else just copying. I'm almost certain. Like,
oh, you know what? I believe it. I was gonna give it to Ashton, but that sound more plausible.
I think everybody was looking to Pharrell and kind of biting, and then everybody then it was like, you know, oh wow, Ashton did it. Justin Timberlake did it. No, it was Pharrell. He was in Virginia Beach looking like a goofy, and they were making fun of him, and he persevered, and now he can have a skincare line. You know, so
period.
I'm one to try to, like, you know, stay away from trends. I try to think of myself as ahead of the trend. You know what I'm saying? I try to think of myself like
I'm
a tastemaker, not a taster. You know what I'm saying? But I think I was never granted. I was a little too young and slash like a little too don't make money for myself to indulge in some of these 2000s trends that are now recycling. And so I went and purchased a Von Dutch trucker hat recently, and I kind of like it. I kind of like it. And yeah, and so Chris said, okay, but hear me out. And the reason why this is an In My Defense is not only I think this looks great. I know Sequoia, we don't agree, but I think it looks great. The thing that I'm defending actually is that there is a rather dark origin story to the Von Dutch brand name. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Yes, I did. So I started watching that documentary. I started to realize, this is kind of dark. But yeah, no, I did realize that. But go, tell the people what it is.
Okay, so you've seen a little bit of it. I didn't know this until very recently. So Von Dutch, the name, is actually named after this man who I believe was from Southern California, white man. He became famous for pioneering a style of like car detailing, which is like, you know, very common in Southern California. You see it on cars that like kind of fine, like swirly, you know, accents that you see on like custom painted cars, you know, yes. Like that, like kind of, it yes. Almost looks like what people get like tramp stamps of now. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes.
It is that lower back tramp stamp. It is.
So Von Dutch, the man, pioneered that style of car painting, and he Von Dutch was not actually his real name. His name was something else, but he called himself Von Dutch because he was a white supremacist Nazi. was a white supremacist neo-Nazi. And he Von as in like German, you know, German honorific. And so I learned this and I was like, yo, that's crazy. We were over here wearing a neo-Nazi man's name on our heads for so long. I'm wearing one right certainly now. And so, you know, obviously that gave me some pause. You know, like it means a little trepidation.
Give you a little pause. Yeah.
But I learned that something that like helped me feel a little better is that he actually had no connection to the brand. Like they.
Exactly.
He died, I think, in the 70s or 80s. And essentially his family, money hungry that they were, hustlers that they are, they knew the brand name Von Dutch had like some resonance. So they sold it to some company and the company turned it into a clothing apparel brand. And that's how we have the cheaply made trucker hats that I'm wearing today. And so that is all to say that despite its white supremacist neo-Nazi roots, I think I look cute.
Despite the white supremacy of it all, you think you're giving right
now. I think
I'm giving. Okay. Yeah. And I'm happy for you. I will say this is one of the least ugly ones that you have on your head.
Do we want to describe it for the listeners?
It's so Jordan is currently rocking a gray trucker hat.
Ew, Sequoia.
With a
am I lighting wrong? You're not, this is,
stop, are you saying it's not gray? Oh, it's black.
It's like a denim blue.
I don't see no type of blue. Well, first of all, but you are real pixelated.
We haven't updated our, we haven't got to the 1080p yet, but
yeah, I'm sorry y'all, that's why y'all can't see us.
It's a denim blue cap with a white oval Von Dutch logo, and then it's black mesh for the trucker
And then it's black mesh. Right.
It looks gray on your camera?
So Jordan is now... it does. It looks gray. It looks gray. And maybe... I guess I see how you get to blue. But yeah, no, I can't see it right now. I'll take a picture. Show you what you look like right now. It's giving very Britney Spears, Paris Hilton circa 2003 during their drug girl phases. You came to the streetwear episode wearing an offshoot of streetwear, I would say. I don't even know how to put this.
This is definitely a subset. This like 2000s cosplay. This is like LA. This is LA 2005 right. I have on right now. You know.
Now don't put that on us. Don't
white
put that
LA,
on us.
Sorry, pardon me, white LA 2005.
yeah. You specify who in these parts you refer to because we was not doing that shit. I had never owned a trucker hat.
No, this is north of the 10. This is like west of La Brea, north of the 10 energy. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
This is WeHo. This is absolutely WeHo. Okay, great. Happy for you and your hat. I really appreciate that. And your defense, Von Dutch, is cute. Even with the white supremacy makes it taste better.
I said despite.
Despite, in spite of. Okay, right. Okay, thank you for clearing that up for myself and for our listeners. We really appreciate it. Moving forward, I have a song that I want to talk about this week that I just really resonate with. This is really my shit to this day. It's my shit. It's old, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about when I say it, Jordan. Remember Mike Posner?
Of course.
Please Don't Go by Mike Posner.
Baby, please don't go. If I make up tomorrow, will you still be here? I don't know.
Hi, I'm Kate Casey, an unscripted TV expert. 3 times a week, I interview the talent, directors, producers, and hosts of television's most popular reality shows, docuseries, and documentaries. I get all the behind-the-scenes stories. I cover everything from The Bachelor, Selling Sunset, and Real Housewives to Tinder Swindler, The Last Dance, and Secrets of Playboy. Join me as I ask all the questions that you want asked. And best of all, I'm the most trusted source on what to watch every week. I will give you a guide on everything from true crime and sports to competition, calling from all streaming and cable networks. The best guests, the best shows and series, Reality Life with Kate Casey.
Sequoia.
Come on, notes.
Did you know that Mike Posner was my first ever concert that I went to by myself?
By yourself? Without your mom? Parental? You went to, because taste. I understand that. Yeah.
I was 14. Toad's Place, New Haven, 2009. Me and Jack Dow.
Did you have a good time? Did he do what you needed him to do?
I believe he did Please Don't Go. I was excited about that. He did not do Cooler Than Me, which is the one I was really geeked for.
Wow. He didn't do Cooler Than Me. Is that legal?
I mean, I was hoping he'd be arrested, but nothing happened. I think he was like, I don't want to play my song that everybody wants to hear.
What type of shit? That's corny. Like, girl.
And that's what we were there for. We were there for Cooler Than Me.
You know we're there. You think you're cooler than me. You wear designer shades. Just he was a hater, low-key. You wear him around because you're cooler than me. Do I think I'm cooler than you, or do you think I'm cooler than you, babe?
I think he's just insecure. Maybe that's what we're learning about Mike Posner.
Yeah, I was giving insecurity. I don't know. But yeah, Mike Posner, Please Don't Go. Truly one of the, I'm not even going to say best songs ever, but it's a great song. That shit really hits to this day.
Oh my gosh, that song does.
I cut that on the other day, and I felt that in my chest. I was in my car screaming my life out at that.
If that came on, I would not be mad. I would not be mad at that.
Not at all, ever. It hits just as hard as it's timeless too. Like it doesn't sound antiquated in the way that a lot of songs from that era does. It's pretty timeless. I'm like, wow, this is good.
I got a song. So a little bit on the other end of the spectrum. I feel like I've been bringing.
Is it about to be Claro?
No, I've been bringing white bops historically, but I got a different one today. I was putting together a little playlist and where I found the song? I love finding songs in like. Just like random people's little Instagram stories. It was Kehlani did an Instagram story. It was her like posting her like belly. She was like, I'm look cute, you know? And the song in the background was like, this shit kind of hard. You know, it was like her, like, it was like 3 seconds of her like in the mirror, you know?
A quick,
and,
yeah.
And I looked up the song and it's this song called, what's the one is it? It's called My Everything by B-Love. he's this little Bronx bad kid. He's a little badass. Mm. You ever watch a video and you're like, who are these little badass kids?
Badass kid. Absolutely. Absolutely. Where are they mama
Where
at?
Where is they mama at? This kid can't be older than 16, bro. And he's like in the Bronx, like at some park, just like with his little boys, guns.
Of course.
Women just twerking. I'm like, who are these grown women with these little boys? You know, like, but the song is amazing. It's like drill. It's like, you know, Brooklyn drill, but this kid's from the Bronx. And it's just one of those songs that like they sample like a R&B song, but they're talking like that crazy gun talk over
yes,
it.
Yes, like that gun shit. Yeah, yeah. That shoot 'em up shit.
Shoot 'em
yeah.
up shit. And so it's like I love the energy. So it's called My Everything by B Love.
Oh yeah, you got to send me that. That sounds like my type of shit. I love a R&B sample over gun talk. That's my fave. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kehlani, for the put on. Thank you, Kehlani, for a lot, TBH, but. She didn't gave us a baby. She gave us music, you know. We appreciate all that you create. We love that. Thank you, Kehlani. Moving into the main topic for the episode, streetwear. Okay. Now, I did a little bit of research. Okay. Thank you for the background music, Jordan. We really appreciate that. So I'll start here. In a story titled Streetwear and Its Roots in Black Culture by Lithium Magazine, for Lithium Magazine, writer Zoe Gonzalez, Zoe or Zoe, not sure, writes, streetwear emerged in the 1980s as a result of the 50s and 60s when the hip-hop genre was born amidst Bronx street gang culture. By the 70s, gangs had established their turf. This was the backdrop for the frontier where hip-hop took root and flourished. The music generally spread downtown, flowing into Brooklyn, and in the ensuing decades, the rest of the world. The first successful commercial rap single, Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight, was the first taste of the fashion movement to come. So essentially what they're saying is streetwear is inextricably linked with the rise of rap and hip hop. And also, you know, New York culture, mm-hmm. New York black culture, New York gang culture, that type of stuff, which we knew. Like we right, knew right, that right. Streetwear was that.
I think, yeah. And it's like current. And the most modern iteration of it. But like streetwear to me, I feel like that's a kind of a linear and a narrow way of thinking about it. Cause like black people, as long as people have been getting dressed, black people have been getting dressed.
That's true. Yeah.
Now you go back to like 40, cause you talk to all the, like the old hip hop heads and the inspiration they took from like how parts of how they were trying to dress was like from the old hustlers that they knew growing up, like in the 60s and 70s. And like those folks, you know, wore a lot of gold, tailored down to the from head to toe, getting the lapels a little bigger, you know, or like, or having the, you know, the pants a little baggier, or like, you know, having like a little thing in the tie, you know, like they were doing their own version of like streetwear, like, you know, like,
always.
You know,
yeah.
I think people like think of streetwear as a thing that emerged when people started wearing sneakers casually, you know, like, cause that wasn't a thing until like the 70s, you know, but people have always been, you know, doing their own little sartorial things. And it's always been regional too. Like you go to certain places, especially back then, you go to certain places, like people would be doing things in California that people weren't doing in like, you know, New York.
Definitely the zoot suits and all that.
And like, yeah, in the 80s too, like with the way those Ice Cube and like the motherfuckers were wearing their hair, like the, like processing their hair like that. And the Jerry curl, like the way that those like West Coast dudes were doing. That's like, that's streetwear to me. That's like a way of like styling yourself that like it's impractical. Like there was no reason to do that other than the stylistic quirk of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what? That is a good way to put it. It is impractical. It's for the style.
It's for the style.
It is truly for the aesthetic, very much for the style. It's like signification that you wear, which I guess is style mm-hmm. in general. It's like signifying who you are and what you're about. Yeah. And yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I want to give you Wikipedia's definition of streetwear, okay? Wikipedia says streetwear is the style of casual clothing which became global in the 1990s. It grew from New York hip-hop fashion and California surf culture to encompass elements of sportswear, punk, skateboarding, and Japanese street fashion. Eventually, haute couture became an influence. It commonly centers on casual, comfortable pieces such as jeans, t-shirts, baseball caps, and sneakers, and exclusively through intentional product scarcity. Enthusiasts follow particular brands and try to obtain limited edition mm-hmm. releases. I didn't love this definition for real because I felt like it started to skew into hype beast culture, right, which I feel like is a, like they're linked definitely, but it's not subset. The same. Like that seemed like, right, that seemed like a definition for hype beast culture as opposed to streetwear specifically. Yeah. But, and then California surf culture, what was that ever streetwear? I mean,
but there's so many different types of streetwear. If we're like talking about like just the casual clothes that people wear, that like the thing that they're trying to establish is like, this is when people started wearing casual, because before like the 60s and 50s, you left the house, you were wearing, you know, like you were dressing in slacks and hard bottom shoes and like tucking in your shirt. You know what I mean? Like most people didn't leave the right. house and looking a certain way. And then like by like the mid 20th century, 70s, 60s, 80s, then like casual clothes became more of a thing you would see in the world. Like clothes that you would associate with like people going to the gym or like, you know, that's when you started seeing that actually on people outside. And so I think that's what they're trying mm-hmm. to say, like at the start of this. But like that looks so different in so many different places, you know, like look different in California and like in the surf culture than it did in New York and skate culture and New York and basketball culture and New York, you know, like there's like so many different ways that it could have manifested. And I think California and New York are overrepresented in pop culture in general. Like there's so much shit that happens yes. between and America being as big as it is and as varied as it is that we like hasn't been canonized in the same way. But yeah, like, I mean, definitely like, yeah, like when people started like wearing like yeah, sneakers and like wearing all sorts of like the punk is a type of streetwear. Like in the London when like they were like, those dudes were like doing the Mohawks and wearing like a, all like our military jackets, like band tees like,
and chains yeah. and military jackets. Yeah. Utility. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
People weren't wearing clothes like that and like wearing clothes in that way, you know, before.
That's true.
And yeah. And also like the thing that was happening too, I feel like was like, there was like all this migration happening from different parts of the world to certain cities. Like the Jamaicans were, you know, arriving in New York and like in Florida in like the 60s and 70s, you know, and like they brought their own little like flair, you know, they brought their own little like steez. And I'm sure like the same thing was happening in California where like there was like Mexican folk coming up and like cholo culture, like they have their whole like, you know, lexicon of like, you know, when you see it, you know, like the Dickies, you know, like there's like all these different like
yep. the socks that you was talking about from the yes, episodes the socks ago.
That go up to the calf, like yo, there's so many like weird little like tells where I'm like, well, how did this language develop and like who was responsible for this? But it happens. I think as humans, we love codes. We love establishing systems, you know, to like communicate to each other. And clothing is definitely no like exception. Yeah. But like streetwear, I feel like Black people have a specific affinity for streetwear, though. Like we could talk about streetwear. The hypebeast kind of streetwear, like the
right, exactly. That's probably what we're gonna talk about. Like now is the hypebeast kind of streetwear, but you can't even talk about streetwear without mentioning mm-hmm. Dapper Dan, right? I think he's credited with taking streetwear high fashion and just a lot of what you see today, the Logomania mm-hmm. trends, etc. Obviously credited with Dapper yeah, Dan yeah, and all yeah. of that is streetwear. So shout out Dapper, you know, we love to have you on. I know that you probably free, probably not, but you know, if you are, feel free. You know, I know you're listening.
Dapper Dan, Harlem legend. Yeah, like the idea of combining high and low is such a thing that we see all the time now. And like the hypebeast streetwear that like they were thought of as two separate, like, you know, worlds, you know, couture fashion and like and things that like a t-shirt, you know. But like now it's odd when a brand like Balenciaga or Gucci doesn't have a t-shirt that they're selling, or like they're not doing some sort of collaboration with a sneaker brand. I think a lot of this stuff came out of cities, you know, like a lot of stuff came out of like, you know, just like the weird clash that happens in cities, the unique some sort of like mix of people and cultures that you get in like in big mm-hmm. cities in America that like of course people are like kids who like were, you know, in the hood, like go to a certain part of the city and see somebody like wearing Yves Saint Laurent, you know, like in like the whole ASAP mob, like that was a bunch of Harlem niggas who just went yeah. down to Soho and were like going to boutiques and seeing all these like fancy people. Yeah. And we're like, period. We're going to do that shit, you yep. know, like and put our little spin on it. People always talk about skateboarding and its relationship to streetwear too is interesting because of like a lot of the like, you know, Supreme was just like a skate brand, you know, like they just made t-shirts, you know, to promote their mm-hmm. like skateboarding brand. I think it meant more back then to signify that like you were like a youth, you know, it was like youth versus the adults almost, mm-hmm. you know, in the 80s and 90s.
Got it. The rebellious yeah. youth.
And like yeah. wearing a t-shirt with like a little slogan on it, you know, meant way more. There were fewer ways to like to express yourself. Like there was no social media. There was no like Like, there's no digital brand that you could build for yourself to say, this is who I am. You had fewer avenues, and one of them, a bigger, because of that, the bigger, bigger avenue was how you dress, you know? Yeah, Black people have always been wanting to make statements, you know, in that way, you know, of like expressing who they are.
Yeah. Oh, we know that. We know Black people like to make a statement. That's our shit. Well, okay, I have a list of throwback streetwear brands, and I'm sure you can name all the ones I'm about to name. The like proper streetwear, not like the subsets, but like the proper streetwear. So FUBU being the first one, Apple Bottom, South Pole, Fat Farm. And I'm wondering if Baby Fat is one of them. Is Baby Fat like a streetwear?
Baby Fat was like part of Fat Farm, right?
I know they were both owned by Russell and Kimora Lee Simmons. So those are the legacy, like throwback brands. What's your favorite throwback streetwear brand?
I feel like I love a lot of that FUBU shit when I see it now. Like, I see, like, I love those jerseys. I think the jerseys are so cool.
The jerseys are cool.
They made, like, cool sweatsuits and stuff, too. I recently got put on to, like, Stussy. Stussy, I thought, because of being at our age, Stussy, when we were, like, in middle school, was, like, the kind of, like, a mall brand. Like, it was kind of like a cheesy mall brand. But I learned that Stussy like is kind of, was like an OG streetwear skate brand in Southern California, but then it got changed ownership at some point in the 2000s. So then the new ownership was like, we're just going to sell this in a bunch of malls and kind of dilute the clout of it. But it was like kind of a Supreme and a West Coast Supreme for a time. Yeah. And
100%. 100%.
And yeah, so like I've seen like people like reshare like old Stussy stuff, and they had like lots of cool. I love the graphics that they make and that like weird font that they have. I think that shit's cool.
Yeah. Stussy, that like italicized ass.
Yeah, like the font, weird little like handwriting.
Stussy was definitely a moment every nigga had. And this is like in high school for me. I went to high school in Long Beach. Like, I think niggas had Stussy hats, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, yeah. I believe there were Stussy like fitteds. And that was a thing. Yeah, no, Stussy was definitely a thing. Stussy is somewhere between like the old dated ones and the contemporary ones. I feel like it was a really early contemporary one. Like, just like in the starting.
But it's been around since the 80s.
I personally was a Baby Fat girl. I lived in Baby Fat. And Apple Bottom. I really took that Flo Rida line to heart. Apple Bottom jeans, boot with the fur. I have a specific photo of myself with my Apple Bottom jeans, boots with the fur, and one of those brown puffer jackets with the fur around.
Not the puffer in Los Angeles.
In LA, right. Like, I really needed the puffer.
Oh, man, that's
right.
Such a uniform. Yeah, so right.
Yeah, no, I was really feeling myself. I told you, it was, like you said, it's not practical. It's for the aesthetic. Y'all know what I'm trying to give. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm about.
Wow, that's amazing. I would pay lots of money to see that photo.
I'm going to try to find that photo and put it on the Instagram so y'all can see what I was giving when I was back in like seventh grade.
My mom had me in so much And One. I feel like because it was in like TJ Maxx or some shit. Do you remember And One brand? Yeah, And One was this brand that was like, they made like basketball like themes.
Was it Jordan? It wasn't Jordan.
No, it was like a knockoff brand called And One. Like And One as in like, you know, when you're playing basketball, you get fouled. Like And One, you know, like, and my mom had me in so much And One, and the figure, the like logo was like this white, how do I describe this? He was just like a guy who did not have a face, and he was like white. His body was like white, not like as in the race, but white.
Not Caucasian, but physically he was a color white.
Physically, he was a color white, and he just had no face, and he would just, like, on all the clothes, he'd be like dunking or like dribbling or something, and it looks so cool.
Let me Google this real quick, because I feel like I lightly remember this, but I thought it was, for some reason, I have.
And it was kind of like a cheap like basketball brand, and so they made t-shirts and shorts and stuff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't remember this. I'm looking at it now. Oh, yes, I do. Yep. Nope, 100%. I always thought that was Jordan. I always thought that was Jordan. I thought it was a subset of Jordan.
No, it's like the cheap one. It's like the one you get at Marshall's. Like, and they'd have like little t-shirts that had little phrases on it and be like, I'm about to cross you up.
I'm about to cross you up, Jordan.
I've heard that all the time.
Was you crossing niggas up? Did you even cross?
I'm a 2005, 2006 Hamden Fathers all-star. So boys 9 and 10, all right? So don't talk to me.
So obviously you was crossing niggas up is what you're saying.
They remember. They know. They know me.
Nigga, I go on the court right now. They know me.
Yeah, And One was huge. Oh, but the thing about streetwear, this type of streetwear too, and what those brands you brought up, was like, this was a moment where Black culture and hip hop was really like just starting to show its earning potential. Like how much money it could, like a global force it 100%. Could be. And like these brands were like the start of these brands was like a way of monetizing that. Like all these brands owned by like big figures in Black hip hop culture. They were like, oh wow, we like our culture is becoming like, we put on Tommy Hilfiger and everybody wants to wear Tommy Hilfiger. Yep. We put on Polo, everybody wants to wear Polo. So we should just start our own shit and everybody will want to wear that. And so that's another like part of it too. Like it's like how this style of streetwear emerged from like hip hop and Black culture becoming lucrative. Like all the white execs realizing like, oh, like people more, it's more than just Black.
Hi, this is Biz. And this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class, tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
That are gonna buy this shit. It's gonna be like everybody's gonna wanna buy this shit. And that kind of like shifted like what people thought was like high culture in a way, or like what people thought was
high fashion.
Yeah, like high fashion. Like, yeah, or like what constituted fashion, even. Yeah, like was completely shifted by this era in like style. We're still feeling the echoes of that. You know, like Virgil, rest in power, he would like his appointment like at Louis Vuitton is an echo of that era of like, of streetwear, of hype streetwear, of like, of hip hop and like skate culture, showing that like it was like a thing that could actually like people could be interested in outside of those niches, you know,
proving that it was lucrative and like something that was gonna be, you know, some people could make money off of, could be on a world stage, was on a world stage at that point, and something that other people decided they want to capitalize off of going forward, which brings me to the contemporary brands that are like the streetwear brands right now. That's like Supreme, Off-White, Nike, Adidas. And I was reading that only one of those brands is owned by a Black. Which one, you ask? I don't know. I know it's not Nike. I know it's not Adidas. I doubt it's Supreme. So maybe Off-White.
It's not Supreme.
Right.
Off-White is a Virgil.
Right, it's Virgil. Is he the owner? Or was he the owner?
He created it. He was the owner, I believe. Unless he sold it to somebody or parts of it to somebody. But he no longer owns it, obviously, anymore. But he owned it at least for a while. He probably sold it to sold part of it to whoever owns Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Supreme is interesting because Supreme is both like contemporary, that obviously the contemporary like powerhouse of like streetwear right now.
Yeah, and
but
hype-y.
It's also an old one. Yeah, like it's of like hype streetwear, but it's also an old one. Like it's one of the older ones. Like
it is.
I think Supreme was founded in the 94 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And
now, hold on. I was founded in 94. Don't be talking about old and saying the year I was founded. Don't do that.
I was talking about in streetwear years, not in Sequoia years, not in human years. And Stussy is even older. Stussy's from the 80s. But like we said, Stussy is like a kind of like Stussy 2.0. It's not the original Stussy. Virgil owned Off-White and he started it, but I don't know if he owned it.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused about. I'm like, I don't really know who has ownership of Off-White, but we know that people making the most money off of this are people who probably don't even wear it. Like Supreme, Nike, Adidas, I don't even know that the execs in charge of that or the people who make the most money off of that wear it, which is interesting. But what is your go-to streetwear piece. Mine, I think, is sneakers.
This is so confusing because, like, everything's almost streetwear now in a way,
you
know?
That is so true.
And I don't know. My go-to, well,
it's the Band-Aid that you wear on your face to look like Nelly from...
My name is Tom Buck, and this is The Enthusiasm Project. Join me each week for deep dives exploring the world of what it means to be an independent creator on YouTube, starting your own creative business, and keeping a positive, enthusiastic mindset along the way. New episodes of The Enthusiasm Project are available every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
I do not have a Band-Aid on my face, Sequoia. I don't know why you're telling lies to our listening public. I do not have a Band-Aid on my face right now. I bought a pair of Nike ACG shoes recently that I like, and they're very kind of streetwear-y. Yeah, and streetwear is such a hard thing to describe, too, because I'm like, these shoes are streetwear, but I don't know how to describe why
they are
streetwear.
Right, they just are, yeah.
I think it has something to do with, like... You know, and like all the thing about everything becoming streetwear too is that like brands that aren't traditionally streetwear brands are being incorporated into the streetwear, like have like been given streetwear significance.
Uh-huh.
Like Arc'teryx. Are you familiar with Arc'teryx? It might be just like a more of a New York thing.
Mm-mm.
Arc'teryx is like a legacy winter wear brand. It's like fancy North Face. It's like, you know,
fancy North Face. North Face is expensive. What the fuck?
Right. No, exactly. It's like niggas who are actually climbing mountains are wearing this shit. They make jackets, they make rain jackets, they make puffers, they make beanies and all, stuff
kinda
like that.
Like how Patagonia's kind of being like co-opted as streetwear now too.
I think that's because like there was like a movement of like outdoor, what people are called GORP core. I forget what GORP stands for, but it's like an acronym that means like people like hiking, you know, mountain culture has become like a streetwear thing. You know, so you see people like and like the tech ass shoes and the tech
Yes.
jackets, and like you're like you're walking literally down Pico. Why you look like you're about to be on Everest?
Hike,
you know,
right? You on Mount Everest or?
But that's like a streetwear thing, and I have a Arc'teryx beanie, and I feel like that's very like streetweary. People like will like be like, oh, nice hat, and it's like it's literally just because it's the brand is like, you know, become
100% as opposed like, to, you know, just a hat. Yeah, it's a beanie.
Yeah,
but it has
yeah.
the brand on it.
Yeah, it's just a beanie, but it has the brand on it. Yeah, I'm for a while I was tweeting about. How there's this one specific photo of Frank Ocean at, I think it's the 2019 Paris Fashion Week. It like changed my whole, how I wanted to dress completely. I'll send it to you. He's wearing in it, the photo, he's wearing a this beautiful orange puffer, like slim puffer coat. it's by this brand called Mammoth. And they're like a Swiss, like, you know, one of those Swiss outdoor, like, you know, like actual hiker type shit. And then he's got a giant Birkin bag, green Birkin bag under his arm.
Oh,
he's got an Arc'teryx
wow.
beanie, and he's got these beautiful like sand wash jeans. Mm-hmm. And then he's got like hiking boots on. Do you see the image?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yeah. And like this, and like that was like, oh, I was like, this is it. This is how
this is it.
Here's
the pinnacle of fashion. Right.
Yeah, this is fashion. And it looks like he could easily be like a dad in like Westchester County, New York, who's driving his son to like squash practice. You know what I mean?
Squash practice. How specific.
He did it in that context, and that he's a black man doing that, you know, it was like he just kind of like broke all the codes, you know what I'm saying? Like but it's like not that revolutionary, but like it like no one was dressing like that. You know, it's so like it's like normcore in a way, like in a weird way.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It is normcore. People are cosplaying as normcore these days. It's giving y'all like to cosplay normcore nowadays.
It's giving me?
Yeah,
it's
giving you.
Who is me?
You.
Who is me?
Jordan. It's giving Jordan. Cosplaying normcore, that is very you. Cosplaying as a dad going to pick up his child from daycare. Yeah, that's you.
I mean, it was all kind of descended from this picture, honestly. Like,
okay. Come on, Frank Ocean being the tastemaker.
And I got a Mammoth jacket, like that jacket because of that photo. You seen the one, like the bright yellow one that I wear?
Yes. Yes. Jordan, the fashion boy, definitely influenced by Frank. We get that. Wow. That's actually really funny to me. It's so on brand. You can't even make, like, your brand is so tight to me. It's just, it's so clear. and hard to describe. I can't describe it. I don't have the words or the coolness to describe, but I know it when I see it. Do I have a favorite contemporary brand? I just like sneakers. Mm. I like sneakers. I like my Nikes. I like my Adidas. I don't have anything Off-White. I don't have anything Supreme. I'm not a Hypebeast girl. Those two give Hypebeast, and the other two will like live somewhere between streetwear and Hypebeast, or like merge the two worlds. But yeah, that's my favorite streetwear piece. Just sneakers. Give me a good sneaker. I have what's my favorite sneaker that I've been wearing lately? Obviously, my regular ass Air Force Ones, because I'm not cosplaying normcore. I simply am. And then
you think Air Force Ones are normcore now?
Yes, I do actually. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
More so in LA than in New York. Last time I was in New York, I realized, oh, this is definitely like a hardcore Los Angeles thing. And like the Air Force Ones, like people obviously wore them in New York too. Yeah, like when the last time I was there, I was like, I see them. But like in LA, they're going to be
everywhere
on everybody, like 100% people. They're just going to be worn differently. White girls are going to be dirty and creased potentially, you know. Black people, they're going to be clean as fuck. Mm-hmm. And uncreased as hell, sparkling. Mine are a little dirty, I can't front. And niggas been dragging me up and down. I swear to God.
It's hard for them not to get dirty. I commend anyone who decides to buy white Air Force Ones. Because I'm like, you're committing to upkeep.
Now, hold on, Jordan. Are you telling us that you would buy black Air Force Ones?
Oh, absolutely.
Stop. I didn't know that I was on the call with a fucking criminal. Oh my God.
Sorry, what's up, Sequoia? I gotta go.
Left their car. I gotta open. Pull up gotta real quick.
Hotwire that joint. No, not even like that. I think they look kind of. I think what it is my Aquarius brain, where I'm like, everybody's got white Air Force Ones. And so I want black ones.
That's what it is.
I think I forgot some brand did like some sort of collab, obviously. There's always so many collabs, you can't keep up. It was a black Air Force One with the white check, which you don't see very often.
Oh, I've never seen that. That sounds interesting.
It was kind of hard. I forget who did that or what that was for. But also, you could just do that on Nike ID. I was like, why are people paying extra money? But I kind of liked how those looked. I think anytime something becomes too ubiquitous, I get a little uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, you know? For real. You're very much not into it. Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm actually looking at my sneakers right now. I know my favorite sneakers that I have. It is my fucking Wave Runners, the original colorway.
Ooh.
Why am I getting a phone call? Decline, Quentin. yes, my...
Oh, yeah,
my
good old, easy.
Yes, my Yeezy Wave Runners and the regular gray, blue, orange colorway. Those are my fucking
Seinfeld shoes. They remind me of Seinfeld for some reason.
I feel personally disrespected by the statement.
I like Seinfeld. I think they dress cool on Seinfeld. It is like the type of normcore thing you're talking about. Like it's like this wearing like weird Upper West Side clothes, but like
they do give Skechers. They give Skecher. They give normcore. They do, but it's so good. It's such a good shoe.
It's his version of the like kind of the New Balance. Like he did like that's like his New Balance of sorts.
Also, I'm going through a New Balance phase. I've been looking at them. I don't have one. I don't have any yet. But New Balances are like very much doing something for me. It's a great shoe.
First of all, everyone needs to put respect on my dad's name. My dad has been wearing the same. My dad has his nice pair of New Balances that he breaks out maybe like once a week when the Eagles have a game and he's going somewhere to watch it. He'll put on his sweats. He'll put on his Eagles, a crew neck top. And he'll wear his little nice New Balances that he saved. They're still clean. Like, it's been like 16 years, Sequoia. And yes, he's had these sneakers for as long as I can remember. And now, like, those New Balances that I see niggas in Greenpoint, you know, in Brooklyn, everywhere wearing these sneakers. And I'm like, those are literally like my dad's, like, nice Sunday sneakers, you know, like.
Right, my dad been in New Balances, nigga. Tastemaker, and what about it?
I think New Balances are cool, but I don't see them for me for some reason.
Really? I'm surprised by that. You give me New
Balance. Not the 990s. I don't like the 990s. I don't know the numbers. I just know the 990s are the ones.
I don't know the numbers either.
The 990s are the ones I see a lot, and I know that one, but I don't like that one. I think I like other ones, but I don't know what they're called, you know?
And you know that one's not for you, but some other ones might be for you.
Yeah, some of those might be for me. Yeah, wow. Streetwear is such a rich text to you know, parse through. You know, we're putting on glasses on right now. We're sitting, we have our shawl neck sweaters on. We're thinking about critically About
with the patches on the elbows.
Patches on the elbows. I have a pipe in. Sequoia's got her pipe going. You know, we're just kind of, you know, postulating different theories about where she comes from, you know, and what it
And you know what? While we're thinking and wearing our sweaters, shout out Jordan for not even mentioning my wig. I have on a wig right now, y'all, and I haven't cut the lace off this bitch yet. I don't, if you know, you know. I'm not going to explain it, but Jordan has not mentioned not one time what is on my head.
Right, because it's not in my business. It's none of my business.
You guys, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. And I just want y'all to know, I FaceTimed Tristan right before this phone call, and the first thing this nigga said is, "What's the white shit on your head?" And so I was anticipating a similar response from Jordan, who has said absolutely nothing. Shout out you, friend, for being supportive.
Everybody needs,
you know,
their space to figure out to wear their own white shit on their head. You know, if I hope
thank
you, know,
you.
You know, that you'd give me that same space.
It's nobody's business, the white shit on the head. But do you want to finish by telling us, if you even have this, I don't know, let me know if you only have this. Do you have a favorite Jordan sneaker? Jordans. Not you, but Jordans.
Wow, this is a lovely question. I was a poor. You're not familiar with this terminology. It's people who don't have money. I, you know, being a young black youth, I was obviously aware of Michael Jordan, aware of Jordan sneakers, was around people who owned Jordans, thought they were cool around ninth grade. And being a nerd also, like, I love learning about shit and I love categorizing things and I love figuring out all the categories and stuff. So I learned around ninth grade, I learned about like all Jordans 1 through like 15, which are like the ones that you see people in, you know. The Jordans continue to make Jordans every year. And like, they're like on like 35 now. Yeah, they're like on Jordan 36. Yes,
really?
They are. They're on like Jordan 36.
I thought they just did re-releases at this point, or like retros.
I mean, because the shoes that they release now, like, you know, like the way he played in them then, he would play them now. And like, people aren't wearing those on the street, you know, like Blake Griffin is wearing them against the Bucks, but like, you won't see them on somebody's foot.
Not now,
at least. Or if you're playing pickup at the Y, that nigga might have spent $200 on his pickup sneakers and he might be wearing the new Jordans, you know. The flex actually is when, a pickup flex is when you're wearing like nice retro Jordans that you could be rocking to like, you know, go wherever, but you decide to fuck them up.
I'm gonna
play in these.
Right.
And the thing you see about skateboarders too, who are Nike skateboarders, is that they sometimes you see them skating in Jordan. You're like, that is sacrilege. He is kick flipping in fours. He's like ripping, because you're committing to destroying a shoe when you decide to.
Go get your SB dunks.
Hey, call it a
day.
Why are you doing that? Okay. So as far as the shoes that I like, I love because historically I've loved the fours, which I don't know if you need a visual. They are the.
Let me look.
They're the ones you see. You see, they're kind of common. They have like this strap over them. The classic colorways.
Yeah. Oh fuck. Do I like the fours or do I like the threes? What the fuck? Let me look at the threes.
The threes that got the cement ones with the little. I like those less. They look too chunky to me.
Wait, am I wrong? Oh no. Okay, the threes is my shoe. The fours are similar though.
The fours are similar because they came right the year after.
Right.
And I like the fours, where the fours look like, especially the black with the black with the gray sole and the white, you know, like that, the classic one.
Yes, I like this. This is good, yeah.
But of late, the late era Jordans kind of get weird and fun, like the late 90s ones. And I love Jordan's last playing year was, I think he wore the 14s. And if you look up the Jordan 14s, I like that black with the like, it looks like a Ferrari logo, you know, and it's like this patent leather on the side.
Yes.
It's like a weird looking shoe, right?
Yeah. It is a weird looking shoe. This shit look futuristic as hell.
Like, 1998, they're like, we're going into the future. We're going to put Michael Jordan in a fucking Ferrari on his feet, bro. And it looks so weird, but I think it's grown on me. They come in a blue. They released them in like this weird blue color. And I was like, those are so odd looking, but I kind of love it.
I like the blue ones. I don't like the ones with the stripe going
down
like that, but I like the blue ones because it doesn't have that. It's just
and you
solid.
Don't see these ones as often, so they're interesting.
Refreshing.
Yeah, because the thing about Jordan is that they've become so ubiquitous that like it's like you kind of just see all of the ones you see, you know? So those ones are cool. I'm trying to think if I have any ones in between that I actually really bang with. For a while, I was really into the sixes. the infrared sixes.
I think I like sixes too. Infrared sixes definitely sound familiar.
They're like the all black and have that infrared red thing on the bottom.
Oh, yeah. No, I was wrong. I don't like these. But yeah.
You're like, no. Keep that. The 13s, ones right before the 14s are actually also kind of cool.
Let me see the 13s.
And you see the blue ones a lot.
Okay. I see the red ones a lot. Okay. So you like the fours, the 13s, and the 14s, and the sixes.
Sequoia, the year after Michael Jordan retired, look up the 15s. They're absolutely insane. They were bugging.
I'm scared. I'm scared. Let me look.
They're the weirdest shoe I've ever seen in my entire life.
What the fuck is that?
It's got like a zipper. It looks like they didn't circumcise the shoe is what they looks like they did.
It does. I'm like, why I got all this extra skin on it? What's all the extra meat? Cut that shit off. It does look like an uncircumcised shoe.
Why did they do this?
Why did they do that?
Oh my gosh, because the 2000s were crazy. Like, have you ever seen the Kobe? So Kobe used to be on Adidas at the beginning of his career. And
what?
Yeah, for like the first 3 or 4 years, I think. And he changed because they made him the ugliest shoe that has ever been created.
I'm about to look. Like Oh my God.
The Kobe Adidas? Like Kobe 2, I think it's called.
I'm looking at it. It looks like... I don't even know how to put it. It looks like it's very squishy when you walk, though. It looks like children's booties.
It looks like a way I've always thought about it is it looks like an Audi. It looks like they put him in an Audi on his foot.
It does look like an Audi. Oh, my God. It's so bad. Why did they do that?
And because it was like 2001, 9/11 happened, they made a special version he wore that was like the American flag version.
Oh, my God. It's getting worse. American flag. Oh my God, these are heinous. I just
produced
got them.
This shoe and sold it.
They look like bowling shoes. It looks racist. This looks like tap dancing. Like, this is bad.
The 2000s were crazy. They were like, I don't know what they were smoking in these design studios, but they're like, what if we put the shoe with a turtleneck and you had to undo the turtleneck to get to the shoe?
Right.
And Ray Allen, and all these people, were wearing these shoes and playing in them. And Kobe was so upset about this shoe that he like literally left Adidas. He was like, no. This is, you guys did me so dirty.
Y'all got me fucked up.
And there's a photo of LeBron in high school wearing those Kobes that somebody tweeted recently. And I was like, that's amazing. I love Black history.
Wow. What a time. Everything is interlinked.
He was like, Kobe was just like his favorite player. And he's like in high school wearing these Kobes.
Of course. And now Kobes are cute. Kobes are like a cute shoe. I like Kobes a lot. Okay. My favorite Jordan, I don't fuck with Jordans. I don't like Jordans. I don't have any Jordans. The only Jordan that I kind of want and don't want bad enough because I never tried to get them are threes and white cement ones or black cement ones specifically. Those are my shoe. I like that one. I also like fours. Now that you just mentioned it, I looked them up. Fours. I also like fours. I will wear either of those two shoes. The rest of them, you can keep the entire lot of my hate ones. I don't remember what twos look like.
Twos are ugly. They don't get brought back for a reason.
Shoot, twos never get. Oh my God. Oh, twos. Yeah, they're ugly. Those are fucking ugly. Fives, sixes. Yeah. Oh, fives are not bad either. Cool. I think I like threes, fours,
and they were on a good run.
Actually, yeah, they were having a solid. I like a chunky shoe, and those are all like kind of chunkier. Like they give kid, like something has, it's a kid energy to those shoes, and I like those. And then what is the worst shoe release that you think ever came? Like, what's the ugliest, what's your least favorite sneaker period?
Okay, so like I gotta think, I feel like in my lifetime I'd have to think about it, because like though the Kobe one and that Jordan 15 are like two I discovered as an adult retroactively, where I was like, I can't believe they sold these to people. Yeah,
this happened. Right,
I'm trying to think of runs recently. Oh yeah, you go first.
You want me to go while you think about it? Okay, my least favorite sneaker to date is a Foamposite. Foamposites are so, so bad. Incredibly so, actually. And nowadays, Foamposites have been linked to that one kind of jean with the stripes, with the random patches of strips that go random. It's like a textured, what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Those jeans. The same niggas that wear foam pods in 2021 also wear those jeans in 2021.
Ribbed, like weird. Yeah, ribbed jeans.
Ribbed. It's ribbed and it's skinny. It's just random patches of ribbed.
Like the patches are like patches on like the knee where it's like ribbed there. And they're so tight.
It's so bad. And they're so, they have to be so tight. And the patches go in different directions. Like, oh my God, they're the worst fucking shoe. And niggas always wear them tight ass shoes with these big ass pink foam posits.
Oh, wow. That's
and
funny.
I hate that for
there
y'all.
There's a Essence, the like, not the Black Essence, like the Montreal Essence e-commerce site, you know, SSE. It's like a e-commerce, fashion e-commerce site. They do like articles. They do like editorial shit. And one of the columns they have, which is actually really cool, it's called Market Research. And what they do is they send a writer an item and have them like wear it and live with it for like a week. And then they write about it. And people have done like Air Maxes. People have done like little bags. People have done like different types of coats and clothes and stuff. And the one I pitched and I wanted to do was like, I wanted them to send me a pair of those jeans. Because those jeans are low-key expensive.
Not you was going to wear them. You was going to wear them?
For a week.
Jordan, if I ever in life saw you in the jeans, you was never living it down. I was lighting your ass up. I swear to God, I will let you rock with your trucker hat. But them jeans, I'm lighting you up
in them jeans, like waddling in them jeans. It's like, oh, what's up? Yeah, how y'all doing?
Oh my god! I think I would erupt. It's just so off brand. Like it's off brand. They tight as shit. Like, I don't even know what size your legs are, because that's how seldomly you show, like, the width of your legs.
Yeah, that's so fun. And it's, I don't know what it is. Like, do dudes think it's like European? Why are they wearing it? What are they?
Not European. I think they think it's fashion. I legitimately think they think, like, I don't have regular jeans. I have these fashion jeans. Like, this is the shit.
Yes, as the great Lil Uzi Vert said, I can't do my dance because my pants, they from France.
I don't understand why he can't do his dance, because the dance is just that shoulder shimmy shit. You can't do your dance because of the pants.
Tight.
No, it don't make no sense. Uzert. Try it again. Uzert. It don't make no sense. But yeah, that's all I got on the streetwear front. Don't wear foam posits. Dom Kennedy said, don't wear LeBrons to the club. Them shit's ugly. And Pedro Fekiere, who actually did the cover art for this podcast, just tweeted, I can't believe we let LeBron bully us. We let Dom Kennedy bully us out of wearing LeBrons to the club.
Good.
Yeah, because niggas do not, to this day, niggas will not wear LeBrons to the club because Dom Kennedy was explicit.
LeBrons are ugly. They look like you're supposed to be doing construction in those shoes, not like going to the club. LeBron, the shoes match him. They're like overly big for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just like, it's like.
Oh my God. Wait, let me look at LeBrons real quick, because I thought I had a good understanding of what it is, but now I don't think that I do. Oh, LeBrons are so fucking corny. They're corny. It's a corny shoe. Aren't there Steph Curry's
look like
too?
Allbirds. Yeah, they're hideous.
Okay, ew. Don't love that either. Better than LeBron's, I guess. But anyway, that's all I had. Jordan, do you have any other last points you would like to tell the kids about streetwear or anything of the sort?
Don't do drugs.
Oh, you were supposed to say your least favorite sneaker. Did you come up with one?
I know it's there somewhere, but it's not emerging from my head. It was probably something to do with like those. I hate those. I don't know if this counts as streetwear. Again, we've like, it's nebulous. But the Rick Owens Converse. Have you seen these? They're like clown shoes.
Rick Owens Converse. Let's see. Oh my God. Ah, yeah. No, these definitely look like clown shoes. Like a joke.
Right. Gunna wears these because Rihanna wore the.
Stop
you,
it.
You see, Rihanna was Gunna for Halloween.
No, she was.
Yes, she was. It was so good. Rihanna would dress up as Gunna for Halloween, and she wore the big ass Rick Owens clown shoes because that's what he'd be wearing.
Oh my God! Oh, this is funny. This is funny. Ew, why does he wear those?
Because he thinks it's fashion. Well, I mean, it is, but like it's ugly. You know, like I don't want to.
Ugly. Yeah.
I've never understood those. And I remember I met this kid who was wearing those, and it was before I knew they were Rick Owens. And I was like, why does he have these hideous shoes
on? What are these shoes that he has on?
And then somebody explained to me that Rick Owens, and I was like, still, you gotta dead those. I'm sorry.
Hate that for him.
I think Gunna can do anything because he's a star, but I don't want to see normal people in those Rick Owens. Also, Rick Owens in general is just like kind of for if you're from Mars, like you got to be for a different type of breed of person to wear Rick Owens well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think those shoes are just not it for me.
No. Okay. That definitely makes sense. Them shoes, I don't know who they are for. I can't believe people put those on their feet for real.
They put them on their feet and they walk outside.
Yeah.
Thing.
Because those are crazy. Okay. Well, this has been Black People Love Paramore podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. I already said it up front, but y'all feel free to rank us or rate us on Apple Podcasts. Turn on notifications on Spotify so you know when we drop a new episode on that
ass. Tell your cousin about us.
Tell your auntie about us. If you have any specific merch ideas that you would like to see, like if there's something specific you want, we'll have shirts. If you would like a mug or you would like a hat or you would like
trucker hat.
Please go ahead and write in to the podcast. You can email us at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com or you can DM us at BPOPpod. Let me say that again.
Tell Nike clearly. To do a collab with us and we'll put out the Jordan 15X Black People Love Paramore. Wow. The Jordan uncircumcised Jordan
The uncircumcised Jordan and we'll scribble all over it as the title.
It'll be so hard.
That'll be great.
Yeah, if you have any collab ideas, let us know. And when you're back home for Christmas, just play it in the kitchen. You know, just play it for your mom, see what she says.
On a loop. Tell your mom that I don't actually, I don't actually love chitlins. Tell her that. Unless she does like chitlins, in which case tell her that I do like chitlins. And I'll end on this. I already told you chitterling eating bitches. The girls that get it. And the girls that don't. Maybe you don't get it because you're just not that girl. If you know, you know. Jordan doesn't know because he's too cool for TikTok. But thank you for listening to us again. Have a happy holiday. I think this episode is coming out like right before Christmas or something. Yeah. This episode's coming out on the 23rd. So have a Merry Christmas. Have a happy Hanukkah. Please enjoy your Kwanzaa, my kings and queens, okay?
La-da-da.
And from the vocal stylings of one Jordan.
Black people love Paramore. Ooh, and Merry Christmas.
Let me tell you something. If you're gonna play anything, play the theme song on repeat for your friends because they're gonna like that shit. Okay. Bye, y'all.